Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first now, sing it. Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I have been singing every day.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name.
Shadows,
He is with me. Leading me on the
sorry that you trusted in the Lord. I like that song. Sing it. I've never been sorry. Sing it.
Blessed,
holy name. All the way. He's exactly the same. Every day. Since the Savior came.
Song. That's a good one, isn't it? Amen. Amen. How many glad to be at church this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all are sounding like it. Amen.
There is a name that is so precious. A name so wonderful to me. This name is worthy of all praises. Because of Him, I am made free. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I love Him, the one who cause of love so unconditional. This name speaks peace unto my storm cloud. This name speaks calm unto my fears. And when I feel that no one loves me, His loving presence is so near. That name is Jesus. Oh, how
of that name, I have life eternally. Someone without Jesus has no hope. The only hope they have can be found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Only way to heaven. The world will tell you there's all kind of ways. There's so many different ways, it's confusing. The Bible says it's simple. Childlike faith. A childlike faith, not our grown-up faith where we've got to see it and it's got to be proven to us and we've got to touch it and we've got to feel it. A child that you can tell them anything, and I'm not talking about deception, but you can tell them and they believe you out of a heart of trust. That childlike faith that believes that a Jesus, God Himself, came to this earth, lived and died on a cross and rose again so that I might have a hope, so that I might have a home. We want you to go there with us today. If you're not saved, you're in this service, don't leave this place today without coming to know the Lord. We've got folks here that would love to help you and show you exactly how to get there. We have been asked every week, this song has always been probably the most requested song we've ever done. And because I think sometimes we've got so many church members going through so many things, it's good to see Molly Strickland back, able to be in the service one more time, and that's a blessing. And So many of you are going through the fire. But I love the story about being in the fire because there was a fourth man. And when the three came out, the fourth stayed in there because he knew there was going to be a time where you were going to be facing that fire. And he'll be there with you, go through it with you. Pray for the choir as we sing through the fire.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration, it gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all those victories and the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Oh, 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 oh.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb.
Oh, oh.
He never offered
our
victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary
this morning. I love the church. I don't understand Christians not wanting to be a part of the church. It's where I draw my strength. And let me clarify, I'm not suggesting that my strength comes from the government of the church. That's not what I'm suggesting at all, and I think you know that. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And as I mentioned earlier, keep praying for Mr. Jason, please. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 1, you see Paul mentions something right in the first line. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's trying to, right out of the gate, put your focus, the reader's focus, on Jesus Christ. Then we skip some verses here, and we go to verse 16, where Paul says, for by him, him who? Well, the first person he mentioned was Jesus Christ. And he's emphasizing, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Well, I want to stop right there. And I want us to understand that Jesus Christ, is the head of the church. In verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We'll go over that in a minute. And he is the head of the body, and then it's comma, then the Bible says, the church. Y'all pray for me, for whatever reason. I'm starting to enjoy some sinus issues. Pastor Payne just said he doesn't enjoy it. Excuse me again. I'm not bothered by the coughing or the clearing of the throat. I ask your forgiveness, but excuse me. That may have done it. We'll find out. Whew. I hope it wasn't, brother. We'll check it out later and find out. But I want us to understand something this morning. I struggle with the direction of this service this morning. I was studying and praying of what to do, speaking of last night. And I'm just going to share these things with you. If you think I'm done, if you leave here this morning believing I've done a bad job from the pulpit, you're just going to have to feel that way, because I'm just going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Last night, a man from a different state, he texted me at 10:35 p.m. And when he texted me a number of things. And he's a proud grandfather. So guess what the first thing is that he that he texted me. A picture of that grandbaby, right? You knew that. But then he said this. He pasted, copied it. It says, "No man can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me." That came to my mind as our dear sister stood up, which has carried such a burden for that grandbaby, and then to get news that he's doing well in school. And when it came to his behavior, he's always gotten an F, but this time he'd gotten a B. I tell you, couldn't give him the Babs a greater compliment, Westside Baptist Church, than just to pray for him. Well, he texted me that, and then he sent me a picture on the same text of an open Bible in the hands of a man with his hands folded on God's Word. Then the next picture was an old-time wooden altar in front of a sawdust floor, probably under an old tabernacle. And on this altar were the names and statements made by individuals that had come to the church's altar and laid their burdens there. They signed their names and their situations as a testimony to others that God does answer prayer. Then the next picture shows a lion in the shadow, and he's looking right at you through this picture. And it says, God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. Then the next picture he sent was a man, a soldier, standing there with his breastplate on, with his shield up, with his helmet being worn so proudly, with his sword in his hands. And then each one of these that I just spoke to you has a line going to it and defining what they're used for, but every one of those are blurry. Except for the bottom one that's pointing to his feet. And it said, the gospel of peace. Then after that, Andy wrote this, "Gracious Father, we pray that you will anoint our dear brother in Christ Jesus with fresh oil. Give him a clear direction for the message tomorrow. And deliver them through him in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost as he yields himself to you. To do so. And greatly bless his family as well as Side Baptist Church. And we will thank you and praise you for doing so. We ask all these things in the precious and the holy name of your begotten, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." Amen. Got a hold of me. Because as of that moment, at that time, I wasn't sure what direction to go. And I began to unravel things in my heart. And I realized that I needed to preach on something this morning. Something this morning that is pretty tough to take. I'm so glad that this morning that we have the Lord God Jesus that is the head of the church. And he tells us in verse 16, by him were all things created. I'm talking about the head. I'm talking about the creator, the organizer of the church. All things were created that are in heaven. We speak of heaven and the greatness of heaven and the glories of heaven and the holiness in heaven. We talk about those things, and it's wonderful to know. But isn't it great also to know that the one who developed this, the church, also made heaven? And if he can make heaven so great, so wonderful, so beautiful, then why can we not understand that God has done the same for us in the church? He's the head of the church. He's the creator of heaven and all that are in the earth, visible. Everything we see, Jesus created it. Everything we don't see, Jesus created it. Have you ever walked outside on a warm day and a fresh, cool breeze come by and touch your cheeks? Jesus created it. We see this morning, it's all about him. The invisible, whether they be thrones. Ladies and gentlemen, he sets up the kings and the queens of this world and the prime ministers and the presidents, and he sits them down. I was amazed on the night of the election. I had already prepared my heart that Jezebel was going to be elected, and I was in bed watching the returns come in, and all of a sudden I went, whoa, Florida's looking promising. And I was in amazement, and I watched, and whatever reason, it can be debated, it can be talked about, preached about, prayed about, argued and discussed, whatever the reason, God turned the tables, and we have his president who God wants us to have as president. Did I vote? Yes, I voted. Did you vote? I hope you voted. But let me tell you, ultimately, God sits them up and God takes them down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that God, it's that Christ that created the church. And then not only the thrones, or the dominions. This is speaking of the governments. I must tell you, I don't give a flip about the governments. I'm not wringing my hands. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm not worried about Iran. I'm not worried about Afghanistan. I'm not worried about Iraq. I'm not worried about America, because God sets up the governments. He creates the governments, and he eliminates the governments, and he's using the governments to unfold the prophecies of his word. And one day, Christians, and one day soon, the eastern sky is going to split. God is using the governments to bring this to pass. Don't you worry about Russia. We know what they're going to do. Watch the news and they're wringing their hands. Oh, my goodness, what's Russia going to do? They're coming in from the north. That's what they're going to do. And just when it looks like Israel is going to be crushed, the old Lord's going to step his foot on the cloud. And he's going to take care of the governments, you see. He's created them. They may have turned their backs on him, but he will use them to glorify himself. I'm talking about the creator of the governments. It's the creator and the organizer and the head of the church. Well, are we having fun yet? For by him were all things made. Then we found next that the principalities are created by Jesus Christ. I must tell you, I found myself scratching my head when looking at this word, principalities. Now hang on, folks. Hang on. He created the principalities. And we can look and say, oh, well, that also means governments. But it gets better than that. Because I did a little word study. And you know what that also means in the Greek? A Jewish king. Amen. A Jewish king labeled on the cross, King of the Jews. Amen. He created the cross because you and I were dirty, rotten sinners that had no hope outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, and he's done it through the King of the Jews, King Jesus. And all one day, he's going to come flying through the clouds on his horse. And there on his vesture, what's it going to say? What's it going to say? Thank you. King of the Jews, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the one that created the government of the church. Now, I like this. We find the next thing that he created was power. The powers. Well, the good thing about that is it means he created the forces. Yes, he's allowed the forces that which were once good to become forces of evil. And he also created the forces of good that are still good. He created all of it, whether it be good, bad, or the ugly. What was perfect was made ugly because of sin. But nevertheless, he created the forces of this old world. Then we find this word also means the magistrates. Ladies and gentlemen, he created the magistrates, the local governments, those people that rule over us. He created it all. I like this. This word, powers, also means liberty. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, he has created for you and me liberty. The next definition of this word means freedom. We were once bound in sin without Christ. The shackles were around our sinful wrist, and yet Jesus Christ broke the bonds, cracked the chains, stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, he has given us freedom. And he is the creator of it all. Now, I'm glad. Then it goes ahead and it tells us that all these things that he created were created by him and for him. As I mentioned earlier, some of the things that our Lord created has been abused and misused by sinful man and has become evil. But in spite of it all, our Lord, our Savior, our Creator is going to use it all to glorify His holy, precious name. So isn't that great? I don't know about you, but I like that. Do you know Him this morning? Say, man, I tell you, I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. I do what I should, when I should, how I should. That's not what I asked you. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I was baptized. I don't give a flying flit if you're baptized. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you walked into that baptismal pool or any other baptismal pool, and they dunked you, put you under the water, and brought you up, you might smell a little better coming out of that water. But in the eyes of God, you're still a sinner. Outside of Christ, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no payment for your sin. Well, God created that rule. Then He tells us in verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know what that is saying is, all things stand together because He created it. And then I'm going to go ahead and finish. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Who? Jesus, the head of the church. Don't you think He knows how all this is going to turn out? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, all these things are going to happen. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who? God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, the head of the church, the Creator. How can you not love it? How can we not enjoy it? How can we not embrace it? How can we not just worship in it? I want to share this with you, and then we'll go to the house. I told Brother Mark, I said, Brother Mark, I think it's going to be short this morning. I said, by 11:45, you'll be at Golden's. Well, I think I may have already lied. Yes, 10:10. But nevertheless, I want to share this with you about the church. Now remember, we've been preaching this morning about Jesus, the head of the church. 1 Timothy 3:14-15 says this: these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if not, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Did you hear that? The house of God is the church of the living God. Then the next line, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar is not only foundational, we the church, we are foundational for the truth to be spread through the community. Without the church, the pillar, the foundation of truth becomes very questionable. But not only is it making reference to the support of the gospel, the support of the truth, But this pillar also is referencing the pillars of fire, flames rising up like pillars into the sky. Church, that's telling us that we are not just foundational when it comes to the truth of the gospel, but we are the light. We are the power that propels the gospel into the hearts of the lost and the dying in our community. It is us. It is we, the church. Let our flames burn. Let the lost see. Let the devil tremble that the church is on fire and doing its job. I'm so glad, man. I tell you, that caught my, got my goat right there, Brother Bill, I tell you. But then something else came up. The next two words, remember this, the description here of the church, the living God is the pillar. And secondly, the ground of truth. Well, I understand, and you understand, that it is also making reference to the support or the pillar or the ground. Everything goes up from there, you know. And so the ground of truth, I understand that. We are foundational in perpetuating the truth. Well, this ground also means something else, Brother Bill. Now listen to this. Does anybody know what a stay is? I looked into this, and the Greek word for ground also means a stay. And it's not making reference to staying in one place. A stay. I'm sorry, folks. I'm enjoying this. Y'all can go back to sleep when you want to. I'm having a good time. A stay is a large rope that, a strong rope, unusually strong. It's used for a wire to support the mast of a ship. So you've got the sails. You've got the ship. You've got the sails. The sails have to connect to something. And there's the mast. And there's usually on a large ship at least three of those. And on the mast, there's a... By the way, have you ever noticed on these ships, there's the mast that goes up, but then there's what is called a yard, and it's a cross timber. Looks like the cross, doesn't it? But nevertheless, that yard, it hangs on the mast. And the yard is where the sails connect. In other words, the mast is in essence, the foundational driver of the ship. And what we have here is a picture of the church as a ship with its great mast and the yard stretched across like the cross timber of the cross and the sails being hoisted and driven by the winds. It's telling us that the church is on the move. The church is... We shouldn't have our anchors dragging. We should be on the move. We've got a place to go. We've got a job to do and a reason to do it. Somebody to please. My goodness gracious, you go to work, and at the end of the week or biweekly or monthly, you want that paycheck for a good job well done. Is that right? Well, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God's ship, God's church, if we'll get out, fill those, lift up our sails upon the mast, and let God take us through the course of this life and do our job for Him. There's a payday coming. We're going to stand before Him. We're going to either lose rewards or we're going to gain rewards. We're going to lose pay or we're going to gain pay. I don't know about you, but I like getting bonuses. Amen? You know, you're clicking along, and you know this comes in and that goes out. But there's something that's really nice when a bonus comes along. Jesus wants so badly to give Westside Baptist Church a bonus. He doesn't want to see you just breaking even. He wants to give you a bonus. You know something else about those masks? You know what I found out about that? That at the top of those masks, and I found a picture, Brother Bill. It's a picture of a young boy, probably 12 or 13 years old, standing at the top of that mast. And you know what that young boy was doing? He was watching out, boys. He was looking, seeing. I want to tell you, Christians, like that child, we should be looking, seeing what we can see, warning the lost and dying world that Jesus is coming. That should be our burden and our desire. That should ignite us into action. I'm afraid we're not there, Westside. We've allowed the world to step in on us. And this great thing, the church, has become just something else that we've got to squeeze in our schedule. God help us. Westside Baptist Church, I love you. And I would die for you. And I know I would, because some weeks I think you're killing me. I'm going to bed with chest pains, waking up with chest pains, waking up with tears in my eyes, going to sleep with tears in my eyes, because I love you. I want to tell you, we've got some responsibilities as a church. Jesus created all that we see, all that we can't see, everything we know about, and even the things we don't know about, which is more than what we know about, by the way. But He also created the church. What are you going to do with your church? Are you going to be like the ship? It's got the beautiful mast, the beautiful yard, and the yard is down on the deck with that sail connected, clipped to the bottom of it. But there's no wind in the sail. There's no plan. There's no navigator. There's no need for one. There's no need for one because the ship is not going anywhere. Or do you want to be on a ship with a beautiful mast and the yard stretched high and the sails catching the Holy Ghost wind pushes us through the oceans of this life and the waves and the turmoil and the winds and the stormy seas. I want to be on that ship. I want to be on that boat. I want to be that child of God standing on the top of the mast looking, telling everybody below, look out! Don't you know that the person on the mast of the... Don't you know the lookout fella on the tower from that big ship that went down, that hit the iceberg. What's the name of it? Thank you. Don't you think that maybe the man in the watchtower wishes maybe he would have screamed a little louder, a little longer, a little harder, a little bit more desperately than he did? Just maybe, the catastrophe would not have taken place. I don't know, but I do know this. We're called, church, to stand on top of the mast and look. And this is not to look and to wait. Yeah, Lord, I'm just waiting on you. We're to be looking and warning and sharing and telling and teaching and preaching. That's what we're to be doing, Westside Baptist Church. We better get our head out of the sand and wake up. There's a lost and dying world that's busting hell wide open as we speak. This week, yesterday or the day before, the young lady's name escapes me. But she was the row, in row versus Wade, was it? She was 69 years old. She died a couple days ago. That lady brought more blood and murder and shame on this country than our minds can wrap around and imagine. I wonder, before she promoted the killing of millions and millions and millions of children, I wonder if somewhere had there not been a church member that had crossed paths with her but didn't tell her about Jesus. I wonder on Sunday when they were supposed to be on top of the mast, looking. I wonder if they had let their sails down. And that woman went into court lost with murder on her mind. I wonder when we had our revival services, she walked into the church, looked around, and saw a building half empty, and said, "There can't be too much to this. Nobody's here." So she leaves the church and walks out into eternity. I wonder, church. Oh, preacher, you don't understand, man. We had some important business to take care of. Yeah. Remember a few years ago, me and my wife and children, we went to the possum drop. Y'all remember? Some of you don't. But we decided we were going to go to the possum drop. And we went up to, I think it's called Tallapoosa. And man, I was looking forward to seeing the possum drop. I thought surely somebody's going to throw a live possum off the top of a building and we're going to scrape it up. But that's not what happened at all. Their tallest building is like 2 stories high. So it's the Tallapoosa skyscraper. They hang this stuffed possum, stuffed, not even a live one, a stuffed one. And they let it down at midnight to celebrate New Year. I got to tell you, it's one of those things I had to do. I had to see this happen. But I'm embarrassed to tell you that I went to the possum drop. I won't ever live that down. People still kid me, criticize me in a kidding way, concerning the possum drop. So I want you to put possum drop where what I'm about to say. You with me? I know that many of our church members, I know that you could not be at revival. I know you can't make it back to church more than one time on a Sunday because you're at the possum drop. Come on now. Be with me. Don't cut me off. I remember we're talking about the church. We're talking about the church that God has made. But we're at the possum drop. I'd like to be in there, but preacher, I had to work. Well, do me a favor. If you're going to lie to me, if you're going to lie to the others in the church and say, I've got to work, stop putting it on Facebook when you're at the possum drop. God has designed the church to do beautiful things. And he didn't design the church to create idols and put those things before him, meaning Jesus. And that's it. I'm going to tell you something personal. Y'all ready? It's a few weeks ago, Sunday night, one of Rebecca's little friends had an 18th birthday party. And guess what a teenager wants to do? And is there 18th? There's only one 18th birthday, honey. Wants to do. Daddy, you don't understand. Her family has invited me. Who gives a rip? Me, and it's only once. Only once. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that is adultery? It's adultery. If I would have let my daughter stay out of church in order to fulfill her desires, which had nothing to do with God, that is adultery. We have become idolaters in the church. We are idol worshipers. We stay at home and watch our flat screens. Hey, by the way, folks, I'm not against flat screens. Amen? The bigger, the better, the brighter, I like them. I couldn't believe it. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed a few weeks ago. I was invited to somebody's home. And I walked into Dave's house, and he had this big old gray box sitting in his living room. And I thought, what is that man doing with that 1965 barely color TV? And I was embarrassed for my brother. I started praying, God, let that nasty thing blow up. And it did. But let me tell you, I'm not against a good flat screen 4K super duper ultra viewing 2 gazillion pixels. I'm for it, man. But I gotta tell you, I've got one over the fireplace, brother, a 4K TV. Man, it's got a pretty picture. But I will not put it before God. I will tear it off the wall and throw it out the door before I'll stay home and watch my little God mounted on the wall. I'm not going to let my children become my God, and I love them, as imperfect as they are, and they are. But I will not submit to adultery. I don't care who it is. I love my wife. Every time I get a chance, I kiss her. Right on the lips. Imagine that. But I will not, as much as I love my wife, allow her to keep me from doing what God wants me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't create the rules. God did. And everything I'm telling you, I can back up with Scripture. Book of Hebrews, Timothy, Titus, and a bunches of others, we can prove what I'm saying is true. This thing of idolatry is in the churches across America, and Westside Baptist Church, we are no different. We have allowed Satan to steal our joy as his children and turn our backs on his house. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And it doesn't matter how often we do it. It doesn't matter how complacent we get concerning serving the Lord and or how comfortable we become in our lukewarmness or our backslidden state. It doesn't matter. It's still sin and it's wrong. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, he started this stuff right here. You know, I don't mind doing things to upgrade and to make things more convenient at the church. But I got to tell you, we've gotten too involved in conveniences, church member. We put Wi-Fi in the other building. It was so good. You know what happened when Brother Mike was here? He called me from his RV and said, "Brother, I'm getting a Wi-Fi signal out here. What's your code?" Amen. It's good. For years, we've had God's men come in and couldn't unless they came in the main building. And it was so good just to say, "Oh, the code is such and such." And he was able to go online and enjoy himself in his RV. I'm not against making things more convenient. I'm not against those kind of things. But we have to understand that when it comes to the service of God, it's not always convenient. And something else, and I may share this with you tonight, the Bible tells us, are you ready for this? That our praise is sacrifice. I, believe it or not, I do not naturally get up and wave my hands. I do not naturally say amen. I am not a natural amen and a hand clapper. It's not natural for me to do what I'm doing right now. It's not natural for me. But I do it because it is a sacrifice that I can make unto God. Matter of fact, the author is actually referencing the Old Testament sacrifices and how animals were used to sacrifice and how our praise is considered that type of sacrifice to Jesus Christ. And you can't sacrifice if you're an idol worshiper. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I went longer than I said I was. But ladies and gentlemen, I have to preach what God tells me to preach. I have no choice. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died for you. Please don't leave here. Please don't leave here not knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're maybe there thinking, "Wow, I wish this preacher would shut up." That's okay. Great, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that because that means the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying you need to be born again. And to the flesh, that's uncomfortable. You don't like it. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't like it. But Jesus loves you. Won't you be saved today before it's eternally too late? Christians, please start playing. Christians, message was good, encouraging, but also, I believe, challenging this morning. Can you not just put your pride aside, church members? Put your pride aside. Is there any area in your life where maybe you've allowed idolatry become part of your Christian system? Maybe you don't even realize it. Maybe today, maybe right now is the time to reflect and to understand that we've allowed idols in our lives. We've allowed the world to do its job on us and to neutralize us as far as being effective for Christ. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. These are the challenges. This is the invitation. Brother William, you sing.
Search me, O God. Sin and sin.